From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. The University of Alaska Southeast has posted its pandemic plan for the upcoming semester. It includes guidelines for students, faculty, staff, and visitors. Lori Klein is vice chancellor at UAS. She's responsible for enrollment and student affairs. She says an estimated 60% of the 250 classes that UAS is offering in Juneau will be face-to-face.
Our faculty have been working very closely with our facilities and health and safety staff to take a look at each individual classroom and prepare that classroom and that faculty member for teaching face-to-face to ensure the safety of everybody who steps in that classroom.
Going along with federal guidelines, classrooms will be cleaned thoroughly by staff. Hand sanitizer and disposable masks will be available. That applies to all three campuses in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka.
We're asking all students and folks coming out to campus to wear face coverings like most places in town. Our faculty will wear face coverings. All of our staff who come out to campus will also have face coverings. Our classrooms will have a social distance setup in each of our classes that are being taught face-to-face.
As for students living on campus, the university is limiting the number of students living in each dorm from 4 people to 2. And if there's a positive COVID-19 case on campus, there are units set aside for quarantine.
We can assist them with getting food and laundry services in their quarantine unit, and so that we can provide sort of that wraparound service. We'll have a team of folks who just check in on mental health needs and wellness needs and academic needs.
Classes at UAS begin on August 24th. The traveling breast cancer screening unit that serves Southeast Alaska won't be visiting small communities this year due to COVID-19. For some communities, that means some women won't receive their annual breast exam. KHNS's Claire Stremple reports.
The whole point of the Breast Cancer Detection Center's mobile unit is to give healthcare access to rural women who are unlikely to travel for preventative care. So, CEO Odette Butler says the decision to suspend service to Southeast for the rest of the year was hard. Last year, she had over 600 screenings scheduled.
We looked at every possibility, every possible way we could try to make this happen.
Butler says there are too many risks associated with travel during the pandemic. Her workers could be exposed during travel, especially when they have to take planes and barges rather than sticking to the road system. Then there's the risk that they may expose remote communities.
We just see COVID as such a risk right now, with there not being a vaccine or treatments really iffy. And with the population of women, if you look at our demographic, age 35, if they have previous history, or 40 and above, that's a demographic that's already at risk for COVID. So it was a hard decision. We hated making it, but we feel like it was the right thing to do.
The traveling mammography unit was scheduled to visit 10 communities in the region this year, including several that didn't get service last year due to the mammography unit's generator failing. That means some women in Haines, Skagway, Hoonah, and Metlakatla will go at least 2 years without a local option for breast cancer screening. Butler said the point of the unit is to keep women from having to travel for care, but...
But definitely, if there's a woman out there who has a lump or issues in that way, of course they should make sure that they get that looked at, because I'd hate to see that go for 2 years.
Healthcare professionals are urging women to get checked elsewhere if they can.
We certainly recommend that people don't put off their screening.
Pam Sloper is the case manager for the Breast and Cervical Health Program at Search's Haines Health Clinic. She says women who need screening and are comfortable with the risks of travel during the pandemic should consider it.
And so there may be women out there who are past due, and certainly for them, or people who are high risk, you know, meaning if you have first-degree relatives, which is a mother, sister, or daughter with breast cancer, or you had some previous problems, those kind of people should certainly think about traveling to have it done.
Sloper said Search has travel assistance funds available for women who have financial need and for enrolled tribal beneficiaries. There are a range of recommendations for breast cancer screenings, depending on each patient's medical and family history. The Mayo Clinic recommends all women over 40 be screened annually. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strimpel.
State Representative Gary Knopp, who died in a plane crash Friday, became a pivotal legislator during his two terms. He was recalled by friends and former legislative colleagues as plainspoken and friendly. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports on his legacy.
Knopp was a Republican who decided not to vote for a Republican House Speaker other than himself. This directly led to a coalition that includes Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, forming the majority caucus in the House. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham Independent, says Knopp was a close friend.
Gary was a one-of-a-kind person, a one-of-a-kind leader in Alaska, and he will be sorely missed by all of us in the legislature, who at the end of the day really are one big family, and I'm just in shock.
Knopp was an oil industry contractor who served on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly before he was elected to the House in 2016. He represented Kenai and Saldatna in the chamber. Edgman says Knopp was one of the more authentic people he's met in politics, with an unmatched independent streak. Edgman says flying was important to Knopp, and that they had talked about Knopp flying himself to the Northwest Arctic region for hunting trips. Edgman says Knopp made bold decisions in deciding where to fly to and in how he conducted himself in life.
He took risks. He was not afraid to get up in front of things. And, that's who Gary was.
Knopp served in the all-Republican minority for 2 years, but he left the caucus after the 2018 election, citing the fact that Wasilla Representative David Eastman hadn't committed to supporting the caucus. Knopp was criticized for going back on his word of voting for a Republican House Speaker. Knopp said he fulfilled a commitment of voting for a Republican by voting for himself for Speaker. He came up a vote short before Edgman was elected Speaker. Knopp's district overlapped with half of Republican Senator Peter Michicki's. Michicki knew Knopp for decades, both in business and politics. He described Knopp as a regular guy and his loss as devastating.
It doesn't matter how any individuals may feel about the way Gary served. The reality of it is he did what he thought was right, whether you agree with him or not.
Knopp was running for re-election against two Republican challengers, and his death could be pivotal in determining who controls the House. His two challengers, Ron Gillum and Kelly Wolf, have said they want to join a primarily Republican caucus. The current majority has 3 votes more than is needed to hold most of the seats. Independent James Baisden also is running for the seat. The day before he died, in an interview with Alaska Public Media and KTOO, Knopp described his approach to government. He said compromise was necessary.
I never make promises just because you don't know what you can do. I mean, you're only one of a lot of people down there.
Knopp said the legislature shouldn't swing too far right or left.
It's not about a party thing. It shouldn't be about a party thing. It should be about the House functioning. The House functioning, and I'm a firm believer that that coalition, that bipartisan coalition, we're philosophically opposed on some issues, but there's a lot of issues we aligned on. I thought we performed extremely well under the circumstances.
On the House Finance Committee, he opposed Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget proposal last year. He described the potential impact of cutting a quarter of education spending or transferring oil property taxes from municipalities to the state in terms of lost Kenai Peninsula jobs. Knopp is survived by his wife, Helen. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A new emergency order in Anchorage will stop indoor service at restaurants and breweries, restrict gathering sizes, and require people to work from home if possible to limit the spread of COVID-19. Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz announced Friday that the order would go into effect Monday and will last until August 30th. Berkowitz also extended the city mask mandate requiring face coverings for all indoor and outdoor gatherings. In the last week, health officials reported an increase in confirmed COVID-19 cases. Officials say Anchorage had 494 confirmed COVID-19 cases this week, up from 187 cases the week before. And a marijuana business in Juneau could start allowing on-site cannabis consumption if given permit approval later this month, making it the first business in the city to do so. This is KTOO News.